That's Luke chapter 23, and we'll begin to read at verse 27. Luke 23, verse 27. And there followed him a great company of people, and of women which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Light from the darkness. Light from the darkness. And light before the darkness. That's the heading. Light from the darkness. And light before the darkness. And that's important. It was important for this man on the cross, because he was in darkness. And the scripture says that the Lord came that those that sat in darkness shall see a great light. And this man on the cross, he was in darkness. And there was light from that darkness as the Lord spoke to him. But there was also light before the darkness, because if we had read on, it tells us there was 3 hours of complete darkness. And immediately after the light came back from the darkness, the Lord Jesus Christ gave up the ghost. So he had to have the light before the darkness, otherwise he would have died the same as the other man on the cross. So it's light from the darkness. The Lord spoke to him. How he spoke we don't know, because there was no words of wisdom that the Lord spoke. But he also had that light before the darkness. He was saved just before the 3 hours of darkness. And we had this morning about the disciples, and they spoke about this man. And they were amazed at what he could do. But here tonight, the man on the cross, he's talking about the same man, this man. And he's amazed at not what he can do, but who he is. Because he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The grace of God is, it's almost impossible to explain how this man, who in Matthew's Gospel is reviling the Lord, the same as his colleague, the two of them in Matthew's Gospel, it tells us there that the two of them were speaking about the Lord. But here we find that between Matthew's Gospel and Luke, before these two verses, just two verses, a miracle occurs. One of them stops reviling the Lord and commends the Lord. And it's all before the darkness. And I believe that that's most important, that it's in the scripture, that they were saved before the 3 hours of darkness, because after the darkness went, as I said, the Lord Jesus gave up the ghost. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. So there would have been no chance of this man being saved. And the light must come into people's hearts. That's the light from darkness. And it must come into their hearts before the end of time. That's the light before the darkness. These things are important. We sometimes just read them and just read over them. But they're important. And when we think about this man on the cross, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. How did he know he had done nothing amiss? How did he know that he had a kingdom to come? All he was told, or all he read, was that this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Now I wonder if he ever heard Jesus preach. He was from that vicinity, that's where he was caught, that's where he was tried. I wonder if he ever heard Jesus preach. I wonder if he ever saw any miracles that Jesus performed, or if he ever spoke to anyone who had been healed. I wonder if he stood next to Barabbas when they were on the pavement in front of Pilate. And he heard Pilate, if he was standing there, he heard Pilate saying that he could release someone. He could release Jesus. And yet Jesus never spoke. He must have wondered if he was there. It doesn't say he was, I'm only surmising. Maybe he was stood there and he saw what happened with Barabbas being set free and Jesus allowing himself to go into the praetorium and to be whipped or to be scourged. Maybe he was there at the back of the Lord Jesus Christ as they all walked up the hill to be crucified. Maybe he had to stop as well when Jesus stopped and he heard Jesus speaking to the woman. Don't cry for me, but cry for yourself, caring for someone else. Maybe Jesus was the first to be nailed to the cross, and these two men were stood watching. And they watched Jesus being laid on the cross, and they saw him being nailed. And he never cried, he never threatened. He was as quiet as any. In fact, when they lifted him up, he said, Father, forgive them. Maybe he was there and heard all these things. Depending on how they were situated, he at least saw the superscription. And yet God was able to use these things to bring this man to faith, to see that he was a sinner. He deserved everything that was happening to him. And that's one of the things of repentance, is that we see that we deserve God's judgment. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly. These are the first words that this man spoke on the cross. And he was listening. And his last words were these, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He must have known something about this coming kingdom. He must have known something about life after death. Because he was about to die and Jesus was about to die. So he must have known something about life after death. Was it because he had heard Jesus preach? Well, I don't know. We only surmise. But he must have known something about life after death. Because he says, when you come, and most commentators say that it's not when you come into your kingdom, but it's when you come in your kingdom. He must have known something that this man was going to come back to life. And he was not only going to come back to life, but he was going to come back onto the earth. Remember me when you come in your kingdom. When you receive that kingdom, remember me. Put me in your memory. Remember that I spoke to you on the cross. Remember that I commended you. I rebuked my colleague and I commended you. Remember me. The things that he must have known. And yet God used them to bring him to faith. The question I ask myself is, what did I know about the Lord Jesus Christ before I was saved? I thank God for my father and my mother. They sent us to Sunday school. My father took us to the gospel hall every Saturday night. My mother sent us to the Baptist church, and we were children, and we went to the Sunday school. And one day of the year I used to hate, it was the anniversary, because we were all given a slip of paper with a text, and we had to learn it, and we had to come to the front and say it. And I used to hate that, because I've got a bad memory. I was always hoping that it would be a short one. And I just threw it away. But many, many years later, God would use that. God would use it. It may not have been in here, but it was in there. Somewhere in the back of my mind, some of these texts were still there. And God was able to use it. It's sad today that there's hardly any Sunday schools, but when we have these prayer letters, we find there are hundreds of children going to Sunday schools in Africa and in the Philippines and the other places. We need to pray more that the Lord would send down his Spirit, that we might see something of a revival in this country. That the young people might be taught the truth. Instead of these lies that they get taught about different things. But this man, he asked a request from a man who was in the same situation. This man was dying and he asked a request from a man who was also dying. It's incredible. It has to be grace. There's no other answer. It has to be grace. God was looking down on this man. Now, I believe that this man was chosen in Christ before the foundations of the earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ says in John's Gospel that all that the Father has given me will come to me, and I will lose none. Here's one who was on the verge of being lost. He was moments from death. And yet he was saved. I may have said this from here before, that there's only one deathbed confession in the Bible, and this is this man here on the cross. Only one. And for two reasons. One reason is this, that we might not presume. How many times have you heard someone saying, I'll wait till I'm older. I'm too young yet to give away my life. Wait till I'm older. And they presume that when they're older, they might turn to the Lord and be saved. It's there so we don't presume. But it's also there to give us hope that it can happen. It can be. Light from darkness and light before the darkness. A miracle in a moment. And that moment was between Matthew 27 and Luke chapter 23. In a moment. And this is how God works. What a glorious God that we serve today. And he said unto Jesus, and remember that the Lord Jesus hasn't preached. He's spoken to his Father. He's told him that he's thirsty. He's told the woman at the bottom of the cross, who we know to be his mother, he's told her that now she's going to be looked after by John, and he's told John that he's got to look after his mother. The Lord never preached. The Lord never said anything about repentance. He never said anything about faith. But it must have been the way he spoke that this man was listening. And God used it to bring him to faith. It's not by works. This man had no works. This man had never been baptized. This man had never had the Lord's Supper. And that just goes to show us that these things have nothing to do with salvation. None of these things will save us. He had no time to work. He had no time to be baptized. He only had time to talk and to listen and to look. And he saw the superscription. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And in some miraculous way, God worked in his heart. And he realized that this man that was dying beside him, there was something about this man that was different from him. There was something about this man that after his death, something was going to happen. And whatever was going to happen to him, he could make it happen to me. That's why he said, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Now if he says, come in your kingdom, he must have meant he was alive after death. And if he says, remember me, he must have meant that there was life for me after death. People today don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in life after death. Many people say, once you're dead, and that's it. My dear friends, that's not the truth. There is a judgment day to come. I said in my prayers there, in Hebrews chapter 1, that the Father is no longer speaking through the visions and through prophets, but he's speaking in these last days. He's not saying his Son is speaking in these days, he's speaking in these last days, which tells us that there is a last day to come. And the Old Testament's full, I don't know how many times it mentions, the day of the Lord, or the Lord's day. This is the Christian's hope. This is the Christian's authority of having joy in their heart. This is the Christian's assurance that this is not it. And I think I said, I don't know if I said it here, but I said it a couple of weeks ago, that when Terry Pottock was dying, on his deathbed, and his family were around him, and near enough his last words were, the best is yet to come. Here was a man dying, a colleague of mine, worked on the mission with him. He was dying of cancer. He'd had chemo, he had operations. He was on his deathbed, and all his family was round about him. And he could calmly say, just as Jesus said, "Don't cry for me. The best is yet to come." And my friend, is that in your heart tonight? John Millett tells the story. He was a minister for 30 years in North Yorkshire. He lived beside us before he became a minister. He was a great man. He was a good man that helped me very much when I became a Christian. And he told the story of the old deacon. And John used to speak to him, and the old deacon would say, used to always say, "I'm looking forward to going home. I'm always looking forward to going home." Every time John went to visit him, he would end up saying, "I'm looking forward to going home." But there was one blight in this, and that he was afraid how he would die. And he kept saying to John, "I'm looking forward to dying. I want to go home, but I'm afraid in how I'll die." Because he said, "I don't want to have Alzheimer's. I don't want to have motor neurons disease. I don't want to have all these other crippling diseases. I don't mind dying, but I don't want to die like that." And sometime later, John went to preach in his church when he went up to North Yorkshire. And he wasn't in the church, but his wife was there, and John says, "Where is he?" And she said, "He's gone to be with the Lord." "How did he go?" he says. She says, "Well, on the Saturday morning, it was our diamond anniversary, and all our neighbours were in the morning with the cards and wishing us well. And at dinner time, our family came and our grandchildren, and we had a meal together. And in the evening time, just had a lovely tea." And he says to his wife, "I feel a bit tired. I think I'll go and lie down." And after an hour, his wife went up the stairs with a cup of tea, and he was gone. He was looking forward. He was afraid on how he would die, and the Lord heard them. And the Bible says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desire of your heart. His desire of his heart was that he wouldn't suffer. And the Lord just took him like that. We may be called to suffer. It may be the Lord's will that we are called to suffer. But suffering is only for a while, as Paul says. It's only for a while. And then the best is yet to come. "Lord, remember me." Talks about that there's something that we will know after death. Something that we will know after death. Something is going to happen. And this man, who he is asking this favour, is the one that's going to bring it about. The disciple says, "This man," and they were amazed at what he could do. "Even the wind and the waves, he can control." And this man here, he wasn't saying this man what he could do, but who he was. He was the Saviour. And look what the Lord said to him. Now it's been well known that when you were crucified, you were there for days. And you could do nothing concerning the birds when they landed on you and pecked you. And you suffered for days until you dehydrated, and then you come to your end. So this man here was looking for to be hanging there for days. But look what the Lord says to him today. today. And when Jesus was talking about today, he was talking about 6 o'clock, because that was the end of the day. And this was now 12 o'clock. So what an encouragement it must have been to him when he said, "Today thou shalt be with me." For a Jewish criminal, they must have dreaded being sentenced to death on a Friday, because that was the preparation for the Sabbath, and they were not allowed to hang on the cross for days. And so what did they do to these men? They broke their legs so that they would slump and suffocate, as it were. So to be a criminal in them days, I'm sure they must have hoped that we don't get sentenced to death on a Friday, because this is what's going to happen. Added pain. The pain that must have been in the hands and the feet. And now they come with the mallets that hammered in the nails and broke their legs. What an excruciating pain it must have been. But the Lord says to them, at the end of this, today, the best is yet to come. And it's for us. The best is yet to come, oh my dear friends. Today thou shalt be with me. Where? In purgatory? In that place where we have to wait? Oh no, he says. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Where was paradise? We see it in the beginning of the Bible. In the garden that God planted himself. He made Eden, but he planted a special garden in Eden for Adam and Eve. And this is the sort of place that the Lord was talking about. A place where there was nothing but joy. And we know many friends. We've lost 4 friends in this last month who have died of cancer. Now, I don't know if they went through great pain or what. But at least 2 of them are with the Lord, because I know they were Christian. And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And it was about the 6th hour. And there was darkness over all the earth until the 9th hour. Light from the darkness. Jesus, before Jesus speaks. Light before the darkness. After Jesus speaks. And it's the same with every Christian. We're in the darkness. We're taken from darkness into light. But it happens before the last day. For there is no second chances after the last day. It's judgment day. Some will be raised to shame and some will be raised to glory. And there's no turning back. Today, that's why Paul says today, today is the day of salvation. Today is, if you hear my voice, as it says in Hebrews, today if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. These are important matters. And we thank God that these things have mattered to God concerning us. He didn't say here for a time, today you shall be with me in paradise for a time, but it's eternity. Eternity, my dear friends. God is the God who had no beginning and he has no end. And we are going to spend our eternity with such a God, a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we will be in his very presence. I rejoice tonight that I'm saved. I'm glad that the Lord has taken what we heard tonight out there. He's taken it from me. I loved it when I had it. I didn't ask the Lord to save me. I didn't beg him to do something with my life. I was quite happy because the scripture said there is pleasure in sin. Satan doesn't tempt you with something that's going to physically hurt you there and then. It's going to be nice, but it will eventually hurt. But God took all these things from me. And he takes them from all Christians. And he lays them upon his son's shoulder. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. Oh, what a verse of scripture. You can't imagine it. He who was holy. He who was sinless. He who never spoke any guile. Took upon himself the sins and the punishment of all the people that the Father had laid upon him. And when you think about how many people we're talking about from the beginning of the Bible. Millions upon millions and millions and millions. People who have been saved. And they were all saved the same way. He took our sin. He took our punishment. And he gave us his righteousness. God gives us three clothes, sets of clothes. And it's for us to put them on. There's the garments of salvation. There's the armor. And the third thing is the cloak of righteousness. And God supplies it because of his own dear son. And it's for us to put them on, to walk as though we're saved, and to fight as though we're clad, and to worship the Lord as though we are righteous, although we are not righteous, we are covered in his righteousness. It's for us, my dear friends, to put these things on because God supplies them. And whatever God supplies, it's for our good. To keep us till the end. To endure to the end. And we indeed justly, I'm going to finish with this, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deed. That was repentance. But this man has done nothing amiss. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That was his last words. He never spoke again. And Jesus said to him, and this is the wonderful thing, they were all in earshot. They were dying men in agony, but they were all in earshot. They were all close enough to hear each other, and they were all close enough to see each other. And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Weep no more. Weep no more. For the best is yet to come. Let's pray.